Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Yeah, what a weekend. What a sports weekend we got coming up. Welcome on in, folks, to Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez live at the City Point Studios in beautiful downtown West Palm Beach. Praise the Lord. Now, got two, I think, good games on the college side. It's one of those weeks where if you're a college football fan, you look at the slate and go, yeah, you know, maybe there could be more. But I remind everybody, when we do this, something crazy always happens. Someone gets upset, says some godforsaken state beats a top-ranked team. So believe it or not, I'm actually looking forward more to the college football slate than the average fan. Obviously, the big fixture, the big one for us Floridians, Florida State hosting Miami. Florida State recently dropping a game last Friday, 8 days ago now. If you rewind 1 week ago today, I was telling Florida State fans, listen, you know, don't jump off the bandwagon yet. It's a long season. Two wins will get you into the college football playoff. Sorry, two losses will get you into the college football playoff. And I still stand by that. But we'll talk about that Miami and Florida State matchup. I think Florida State needs it more. Miami coming off of a bye week, undefeated, top three team in the country. You know, we're getting robbed of that top 10 matchup that we were looking for because of the stumbling of the toe by Florida State against Virginia. So we'll do a deep dive on Miami and Florida State. We'll also talk a lot of baseball. I mean, folks, we got this is my heaven. And as my producer knows, Damian Perez, our producer today, and always Damian Perez at the City Point Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Damian knows I love me some baseball. Now, yes, to answer the elephant in the room, I'm heartbroken about the Guardians, but I've moved on. It's a new day. I'm proud of what the Cleveland Guardians are able to do on the season, and best of luck to the Detroit Tigers moving forward. With that said, I've hitched my wagon to the Chicago Cubbies. I did 3 years in Peoria, Illinois, big contingency of Cubby fans down in Peoria. The radio station I worked for was home, an affiliate of the Cubbies, so I am hitching the bandwagon to the Chicago Cubs as they take on the Brewers. That is the afternoon matchup today, a 2 o'clock start. So we got plenty of baseball and then a ton of NFL. The big news in the NFL, Lamar Jackson unavailable in the game against the Texans. So no Lamar Jackson in the game against the Texans coming up this weekend. There's plenty of other storylines too. That Thursday night football game, I mean, Sean McVay running on a 4th-and-1 right up the middle. So we have plenty to react to on Saturday Tailgate this morning, but we're powered by Hard Rock Bet. Download that Hard Rock Bet app today and get started. I mentioned all the great baseball. I think I'm going to be taking the Cubbies and the run line. We're going to be making our parlay of the weekend later on in the show. But the juicy bets right now, I'm looking at that Florida State plus 4.5. Florida State needs the game. And there has been so many times in this rivalry where a field goal has decided the outcome of a game. Wide right two, wide left. You know, I was talking to JMP, one of our teammates here at ESPN West Palm Beach. He's a Miami grad, a partnership facilitator here at Good Karma Brands and ESPN West Palm. JMP, a big Miami guy, one of the bigger Miami fans I know. He's not worried in the slightest. He told me, he says, Riz, I've watched the tape. I think we're going to dominate the line of scrimmage. I think we have the better quarterback in Carson Beck. I agree with him on all that. I just don't know how Florida State is going to react at Doak Campbell in a must-win situation. I think it's going to be similar to the Alabama game. But regardless, if you have a feeling, guys, like our buddy JMP, if you have a feeling on that game tonight, roll with it at Hard Rock Bet. Roll with that gut feeling with our friends at Hard Rock Bet. It'll turn you into a payday. And if you download the app now and deposit $5 and bet $5 and win said bet, you're going to get $150 in bonus bets. MLB playoffs, NFL regular season football. You got college football. Inter-Miami, I'm going to be on the call for the Inter-Miami Heron game coming up tonight in Chase Stadium against the New England Revolution. Lionel Messi and the Herons, technically alive for the Supporters' Shield. They're going to need a lot of things to happen, but you can bet on Inter-Miami. Dame, my dad is in London for the Browns.
Wow.
Yeah, they're in London. The entire ESPN Cleveland team is in London, but he's going to Stamford Bridge today.
That's amazing. They got a great game against Liverpool.
And he's my dad's a diehard Liverpool fan, kind of got me into the Prem at a young age when I adopted United. But my brother and I told him, because it's his first time going to an English game, we told him, like, dude, don't wear Liverpool gear. Because he's sitting in the Chelsea section. Yeah,
it's in Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, and like the tickets.
Oh,
and
Damien, man, Anfield would have been awesome, man.
Damien, you know how hard it is to get tickets at these events. So, like, we told my dad, who's like him and my auntie Lo, his sister, my auntie, they're sitting in the Chelsea section. I'm like, dad, you cannot wear Liverpool gear. He goes, oh, dude, I won't. He goes, I'm going to wear neutral.
Lightly.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to that. But if you're like me, if you're like us, you love the Premier League, you bet on the Premier League, that is all on the Hard Rock Bet app. Download it today. You can download it on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. Three straight weeks of London football, too, by the way. You got that Brownie and Viking matchup, followed by two more fixtures after that, rather across the pond in England.
How about Dylan Gabriel getting his first start overseas?
Spare me. Spare me.
Not ideal, or?
I just, you know, that's a mess. The whole Shador responding to Rex Ryan and being a mime.
Yeah, really quickly, can I get your take on that, I guess, meme act that Shador
mime
had?
Mime act. Mime. And I think Adam Schefter, and listen, I'm taking the great Adam Schefter for face value. Adam Schefter said it was in response to what Rex Ryan said on Mike Greenberg's show, Get Up. Apparently, Rex was, I don't have the audio, folks, I apologize, but Rex was saying, you know, basically calling out Shador, saying you have enough talent, you're good enough to be the starting quarterback, and you should be ashamed that you're not, because you're not doing the little things.
Right,
not,
he was basically saying he wasn't taking
the job serious.
He wasn't preparing.
And in response to that, when reporters in open, so Damien, there's something in the in media called like open locker room session,
right,
where the reporters who cover the team every day can go up to any player they want and talk to him at their locker. It was open locker room.
What, I'm from sure the players looks love that.
From the looks of it, by the way, because I told you I covered the Browns for 3 years, from 17 to 2021. Regardless, I've been in that setting, and that's what it looked like. I've been in that building in Berea and in that setting. And it looked like reporters had cameras and open locker room, and they started asking Shador questions about still being the third string quarterback after Gabriel was ruled the starting quarterback, and he pulled the mime act in response to the Rex Ryan thing, saying he was immature. So it's a mess. Colin Russo and I talk about it on Russo and Rizzo. It's the circus, right? You know, I love Shador. I think Shador is the best quarterback on the Browns. Quite frankly, I don't think he's getting a fair shout. I don't think he's getting a fair chance. He's not leading scout team. He's probably not getting the reps in order to progress to the next step of being an NFL quarterback. But that was probably his first wrong move. That was his first wrong move, I think, as a pro. I kind of disagree with Rex Ryan. I thought Shador, outside of getting speeding tickets in the offseason, I thought Shador was doing all the right things, saying all the right things. I didn't think he was being a distraction to the team. I think this was the first time he was being a distraction. As far as Dylan Gabriel, I hope he could play. If I'm being completely honest, I just want a damn quarterback that could win games. That's all I want. They could win games and not turn the ball over. If Dylan Gabriel is the answer, perfect. We have a franchise quarterback.
Kind of kick off the next era for the Cleveland Browns.
If he's not the answer, you got Shador Sanders, and he deserves a look. And I don't know if he's going to get that look, but that would be my best guess. And speaking of quarterbacks, Lamar's out. You know, they're playing the Texans. The Texans finally turned things around last week. I mean, geez, Texans were 0-3 heading into Week 4, Damian Perez. And they picked up a huge win against the Titans, a 26-0 shutout. C.J. Stroud, 233, two touchdowns, 22-28, very sharp in the game. Now, I hate to say this because my personal buddy, good friend of mine, works for the Titans, but I don't see that coach surviving this year. I don't see Brian Callahan surviving this year. The season's already over. You're 0-4. Cam Ward has not looked the part so far. I don't know how much that's on the young man himself. I think it's, you know, what's around him and the mess that the Titans currently are. But Texans getting a big win, and they're going to be taking on those Ravens, who are facing, you know, the Texans with the Lamar Jacksonless offense. And
not just Jackson. They got a few pieces, very important pieces on defense that'll be out.
They
Roquan
don't,
Smith, Matabuke, I think his
yep,
name is.
Matabuke.
He's out for the season.
Yep.
So a relatively depleted Ravens.
Jackson, obviously a two-time MVP. This is his first game he's going to miss since that wild card loss back in 2023 when I think Snoop Huntley started the game and they lost to the Bengals. Baltimore, by the way, is 4-10 without Lamar since 2018, averaging only 16 points. So Cooper Rush is going to be making his first start for the Ravens. He's been dealing with numerous injuries after their worst start in a decade. That is Lamar Jackson. So Dame, if this gets to 1-4, I think there's problems. Now, if Lamar gets healthy and he gets right, I could definitely see the Ravens possibly saving the season. But if you get to 1-4, 1-5, mate, that's real trouble.
Yeah.
You're playing, you're truly playing with hot water if you start kind of getting around that area and in the territory of kind of being so far gone you can't return.
Yeah, especially with the expectations the Ravens had coming into the season. 1-4 will just mean that the pressure just keeps on rising for them and Lamar.
Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, and Patrick Ricard, to Damian's point, all unavailable. I love it, personally. I absolutely love it. You know I sports hate the Ravens.
Oh, you pray for their downfall.
Oh, I sports hate the Ravens more than any team on the planet. I love to see them struggle, but I am a Lamar Jackson guy. I was a Lamar Jackson fan back in Louisville when he was winning Heisman trophies and making Louisville into a football school. So a little bittersweet on that end. But that's the big storyline, Lamar out. You got the London game with Cleveland and Dylan Gabriel.
Who needs that game more, really quickly, before we move on? The Texans or the Ravens, being that they're both 1-3?
I probably would lean Ravens. I really would. I would lean Ravens just because if you go to 1-5, dude, that's the point of no return.
Yeah.
That really is. And I know you can say the same damn thing about the Texans because the Jags are better.
They got a bit more time, though.
Here's the thing. The Jags and Colts are better, I think, than anything in the AFC North this year. With all due respect to Pittsburgh, who has a solid record and they're winning football games right now, I think Indianapolis and Jacksonville are both better than Pittsburgh. Cincinnati is one of the worst teams in the NFL with Jake Browning, and Cleveland's one of the worst teams in the NFL. So based off of that, I think Baltimore can still win the can I flip? Probably the Texans, because Baltimore is probably going to win the division still.
It's got to do with the division.
I've convinced myself in the Texans because Jake Browning and Cleveland, Baltimore might sweep that, even with friggin' Cooper Rush or whoever the hell the starter is going to be if Lamar's hurt. And then Pittsburgh, the Ravens always split. I mean, I think for the last decade, you could look it up, for the last decade, the Ravens have split against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North.
Now, this does set up an interesting situation. If the Ravens do make the playoffs as a wild card, now one of those top teams has to play the Ravens in that first round of the playoffs.
So
that's very interesting.
You're saying if Pittsburgh, who's sitting at 4-1, 3-1 right now, if they win the division and Baltimore is a wild card, maybe a team, I mean, I'm speculating, like the Chargers.
Right.
Maybe a team, Buffalo, whoever wins the AFC South.
That would be the matchup everyone was trying to avoid.
Because, and if Baltimore is a wild card team, I'm assuming they have, you know how a couple of wild card teams make it every single year. They'd have to be the back end wild card team, maybe the worst wild card team. How about this? The Buffalo Bills, who might have the best record in the AFC, hosting a healthy Lamar Jackson at the end of the year, and Baltimore. We're going to get a rematch of the divisional round last year. Be pretty cool, dude. Would be pretty cool. 888-760-3776, that number to call on in talking a little NFL, starting with a little NFL today as Lamar Jackson unavailable versus the Texans. You got good matchups all across the NFL on the fixture list. They're officially in London. You're in Ireland last week. Cowboys, I think a must-win situation at the Jets. 1-2-1. We finally had a godforsaken tie last weekend, the Cowboys and the Packers drawing up in Jerry World.
How about Dak Prescott?
Played well, dude. And he's played well all year. And My God, if the Cowboy defense could get one stop, they win that game three different times.
Is there a better quarterback in the NFL right now that's playing at the level that Dak Prescott is playing? With everything going on in Dallas, you know, he lost CeeDee Lamb. That defense is absolutely horrible. The offseason fiasco with Micah Parsons. Yeah. I mean, you would have thought the Dallas Cowboys had a losing record going into this game.
My pushback, I mean, Mahomes is doing Mahomes things. 939, 7 touchdowns and an interception. Josh Allen is playing brilliant football. But Dak, I mean, as far as yards, he's leading the league with 1,100. 6 touchdowns to 3 picks, and he's looked the part. I think the biggest thing for Dak,
he's carrying.
He looked the part against Philadelphia, who's undefeated and the no doubt number one.
They should have won that game. Absolutely.
Dak is the no doubt number one. The Eagles are the no doubt number one team in the NFL, and Dak had them on the ropes. And
it took a drop by CeeDee Lamb late in that game.
Miles Sanders getting caught by Zach Bond. I mean, weird stuff. Goff's playing well, Dame. I mean, geez, Goff, 9 touchdowns to 2 interceptions.
Yeah,
but Herbert, or your boy Herbert. I'd say your boy because that's your guy.
Yeah, I'm a big Herbert guy.
Yeah, you're a big cheating fan of Jim Harbaugh and cheater, pumpkin eater down there. That would be my pushback. Guys I would push back saying might have better years are Goff, Herbert, Mahomes, and or Allen.
But they're in such great situations. I feel like Dak Prescott, I mean, who's this? Who with CD?
Pickens played nice.
I forgot about Pickens. That's true.
Pickens played good. The Ferguson the kid is good. Now I'll listen about running backs. Please, Miles Sanders. I still blame Miles Sanders for that Philadelphia loss.
Out this week, by the way,
for getting caught by Zach Bond. I mean, geez, he had a 15-yard lead on him when you were running for the end zone, and he tracked you down. I know he's not the running back he used to be. But I don't know, man. Cowboys are a fun team. They play no defense, and every game is a shootout.
Right.
Outside, they play. I keep saying the Eagles are the weirdest case study in the NFL right now. That week one, the Cowboy defense did a decent enough job, unless you're Jalen Hurts scrambling with the ball, but that really wasn't a shootout. But you look at the Cowboys played the Giants. I mean, what, Russell Wilson threw for 500 yards in that game? And then you look at last week in a 40-40 overtime draw. So the Cowboys are a fun team in the sense of not a lot of defense, and the other team's going to score, and Dak Prescott's going to put up a lot of points too. And when you look at some other teams in the NFL, I mean, to your credit, all right, if Dak maybe played for a team that played a lick of defense,
imagine.
Maybe things would be different.
If Dallas kept Micah Parsons, I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
I mean, it's one player. You know, the secondary is a mess. The Jordan Love looked like...
But having a player like Micah Parsons helps you cover that your secondary is a mess because he doesn't give the quarterback time to throw that ball.
I still think the Cowboy defense is bad with Micah Parsons. That's my thing. I mean, is it going to help? You got someone rushing the passer? Absolutely. But Jordan Love was... I got to go back and check. I think Jordan Love put up about 300 yards, 350 yards. In that matchup. I mean, I know Dak Prescott put okay at 337 and 3 touchdowns. And then on the flip side, they ran for about 180. Like, defense optional.
And everybody has done that, not just that. I mean, even the Giants.
God, I mean, Russell Wilson, who's out of a job right now, threw for 400 yards. Almost went the half century mark.
He had everybody thinking he was the quarterback for the rest of the season after that game.
But folks were reacting to the Cowboys in kind of a must-win situation. 0-4 Jets in New York. The Jets coming off a heartbreaker in Miami. Two games ago for the Jets, a heartbreaker in Tampa Bay when Baker Mayfield led a game-winning drive after Aaron Glenn did the chicken dance when he thought he won the game with a minute 23 left after they returned a place kick.
Go
a
Dolphins,
field goal.
Baby.
Your Fins. I forgot your dude. I keep forgetting you're a Fins fan.
It's hard to be a Fins fan.
I keep forgetting you're a Fins fan. Now, did that win? Did it turn the season around? You know, you lost Tyreek Hill.
I wouldn't say turned it around, but, I mean, it did give us a sense of false hope, which is all we need. As a Dolphins fan, that's all we want.
Where are you at with Mike McDaniel? Miami Mike?
I root for the guy. I really like his personality, but I feel like he's the kind of coach where everything needs to be going right for him to succeed. once things start going, discipline is not his strong suit. That's the problem with Mike McDaniels. He can't discipline his team to where they play disciplined football. But if things are going well for the Dolphins, I think he's a great coach.
I just think the whole Tua experiment.
He's more of where an OC, offensive coordinator is his
where
role.
We were 2 years ago with the Dolphins, you should be further ahead.
Right, and that's the frustrating
part. That's where we're at with McDaniel. I don't think one game against the 0-4 Jets.
I mean, it's safe to say he's kind of been figured out as a head coach.
Now, you win this game against the Panthers.
You
certainly
have to win this game.
I think you certainly win the game against the
Panthers. Now, it's in Carolina, though,
they
I'm not
stink,
mistaken.
They stink, though. They stink, Dame. I mean, geez. I got to make sure this is right. Yeah. 42-13, the Patriots. It was in New England. But my God, Drake May put up 42.
Whoa,
points.
I mean, Drake May has looked good all season.
I mean,
it's worth saying.
I mean, geez. Drake May, 42 points. I don't. Maybe I'm trolling on that. I still need to see it from Drake May, but he's got great coach in Vrabel. I think the New England situation, believe it or not, is turning around. I don't think they're going to sniff that 9.5 this year.
They need an
which
alpha
the
receiver.
Was with Hard Rock Bet.
That's what the Patriots are missing, an alpha receiver.
They did it so long without one. That's the issue. They did it so long without one with Tom Brady and Belichick. I mean, obviously, Gronkowski was great. Welker, Julian Edelman.
Brady. We're talking Tom Brady.
But what I'm saying is they haven't had an alpha receiver since Randy Moss, mate.
Right.
You know, that's just something they don't necessarily do. And Mike Vrabel, I know he's kind of speaking illy towards Bill Belichick lately, but he played for Belichick. He coached for Belichick. I'm assuming he learned a lot in that sense. And they did go out and get Stephon Diggs, to be fair.
Right.
They did go out and get Diggs. So maybe Diggs can be that alpha that you're talking about. I don't think so. I think injuries and kind of getting in his own way. It is Stephon Diggs right now.
He's had a slow start to the season, but he is getting better.
Yeah. Other games this weekend, I think that Buccaneer and Seahawk game is juicy on the NFL side. Tampa Bay coming off that loss against Philadelphia. By the way, Philadelphia didn't complete a pass. Philadelphia did not complete a pass in the second half, and they were still able to beat Tampa Bay 31-23. So Tampa Bay coming off that loss, going to Seattle. Sam Darnold playing winning football this year. They're 3-1. I think that's the juicier of the matchups coming up at 4 o'clock. And then to kind of put a bow on things, I think the Broncos and the Eagles is juicy too. The Broncos have a fantastic defense. Broncos, the two games that they lost this year, they lost against the Colts when they were jumping the center, and then they lost at the Chargers in an absolute thriller where they kind of blew it at the end of the game. So kind of two plays away from being 4-0, the Denver Broncos, and they absolutely dispatched the Cincinnati Bengals, which I think a lot of teams are going to be doing for the rest of the season with how poor Jake Browning has been. But hot take, I kind of like the Broncos in that game.
You know, it's a combination of Browning and that offensive line. Because we've seen Brownie succeed with the Bengals in that offense. I mean, they got all the tools to do it, but that offensive line is horrible. I mean, Chase Brown can't even get good yardage on behind that line.
I benched him this week, yeah, Chase Brown. I mean, I put in that Arizona kid.
DeMercado or Michael Carter?
No, the first one.
DeMercado. He was on TCU when TCU had that, when they made it all the way to the national championship.
So Trey Benson out. James Conner out. So it's this Imari DeMercado from TCU in his third season.
Now, they haven't really came out and said he'd be the one. But if you look, the eye test shows that DeMercado has the juice over Michael Carter. I mean, we've seen Michael Carter with the Jets. We've seen him around the NFL. I don't think he's RB1.
He's had one carry this year.
Right.
I mean,
and he was in the practice squad. He came right off the practice squad right when Trey Benson got hurt.
Knowing my luck, Michael Carter is going to get like 30 carries.
Imagine that. Has he ever done that? I mean, I feel like he's more of a pass-catching back.
No, we'll be okay. 888-760-3776. Folks, when we come back from break, we'll touch on the college football side. We'll touch on that Miami and Florida State matchup that's going to be one of the nightcaps tonight. I really... you know, I'm on the call for Inter Miami tonight, so I'm going to miss the game. But when I go back and watch Sunday morning, as I do with a lot of these great night games, when I, you know, got conflicting schedules, I think line of scrimmage is going to be the story here. And I know it's a tale as old as time, but I'll leave you with that before we talk more about it on the flip side. Line of scrimmage. You saw Florida State get dominated in that Virginia game. I mean, 46 points to Virginia? Unacceptable. Is Florida State going to respond defensively and even offensively against Miami? And is Miami going to continue what they've been doing all year, winning the line of scrimmage battle and winning their matchups up front under a coach in Mario Cristobal, offensive lineman kind of guy, and really doesn't play when it comes to the trenches? So we'll talk more about that matchup coming up at Doak Campbell Stadium, 7:30, ABC's game tonight, Miami at Florida State. Taking a timeout, coming right back. Saturday tailgate on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Folks, if you need somewhere to watch the Florida State and Miami game, look nowhere but Pig Beach Barbecue. Look nowhere but Pig Beach Barbecue on 2400 South Dixie Highway. It's your spot all football season with the best video walls, big screen TVs, and audio systems in South Florida. It is the best place to watch all the games. Enjoy all the incredible barbecue, burgers, signature sandwiches, beers, cocktails, and so much more as you cheer on your teams. They got the Sunday ticket, so they're going to have the game that you want. They got a great happy hour and a late night happy hour that'll keep you cheering through the night. Do football season right at Pig Beach Barbecue. That is Pig Beach Barbecue, 2400 South Dixie Highway. If you need somewhere to watch this great matchup of Miami and Florida State, look nowhere but Pig Beach Barbecue. Now, Florida State and Miami, I mentioned the line of scrimmage and how I think the battle is going to be won in the trenches. But I think there's something to be said, Damian, about Florida State needing the game. Florida State has already lost a game in conference to Virginia last Friday. If they lose this game in conference, that's 0-2 in conference play. That's 3-2 overall and 0-2 in conference play. That's going to be tough to crawl out of. Now, if they lose against Miami too, I don't think they could lose a game throughout the duration of the season. I think they're going to have to win out. They have the likes of Pitt, Stanford, Wake Forest, Clemson, Virginia Tech, NC State, and Florida State. That's at NC State and at Florida State to end the season. And personally, I think at Clemson, too, is no cakewalk. I know Clemson stinks, but that's still Dabo Swinney, who's probably – and then listen, if Florida State has either one loss or two losses and they're fighting for their college football playoff lives, if I know Dabo Swinney and how competitive that team is, they're going to want to play spoiler. But with Florida State and Miami, how do you see this one going tonight?
I think for Florida State, I mean, this is the game. They should be looking forward to this game, especially after a big loss like they had last week. You beat UM. Now the season is back on track and probably even better than it was before. UM is probably one of the better teams in the nation this year. They got the national championship aspirations. If you're FSU and you beat UM in this game, I think, like I said, it can absolutely turn everything around and correct any mistake you've committed up to now.
They need the game. I think it's that simple. They need the game. You cannot fall to 0-2, and you cannot play must-win football. I mean, listen, can they do it and on a week? And that's a weak schedule. Let's call it for what it is. The Florida State schedule at Florida, at NC State, Virginia Tech, at Clemson, Wake
Forest, Stanford, Pitt. That's why this game is so important.
There's not another ranked team on the damn schedule after this. So if you win this game, number one, you could probably lose one more game on the schedule. And number two, you will have a better chance of making the ACC championship. Because a team you lost to, Virginia, they play the easiest schedule in the ACC. Now, I think Virginia stinks. I think they're the SMU this year if they are able to go to the ACC championship, who I think they'll be playing Miami because I think Miami by far is the best team in the ACC. We still got to wait and see how things shake out, especially tonight in Doak Campbell. But I think if Virginia wins out, they're going to represent, they're going to be one of the representatives in the ACC, and I fear that they're going to get in the college football playoff and have it be similar to SMU or Indiana, where they're just not up to snuff against the top teams.
There'll be a bye week
within the SEC and the Big Ten. I mean, you saw last year with Penn State. SMU struggled to even cross the 50 in that first half against that Penn State defense. And I just feel like it could be more of the same if Virginia's able to sneak in. So I personally really don't have a dog in the fight. If I lean a Florida team, it is the Hurricanes, Damian. Like, if I lean to root for a team in Florida, it is the Miami Hurricanes. But, like, a little bit of me is hoping Florida State wins this just to make things interesting in the ACC.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Miami
will have a loss in the ACC. That means there will be a couple of teams with one losses in the ACC. It'll make things more interesting towards the end of the season. But if you ask me, who I think is going to end up winning, I think Miami is too much, man. I think Miami right now is the best team in the country. Now, the Notre Dame win doesn't look as good as it does because they stink. All right, I don't care about a 42-13 win at Arkansas. Arkansas is a god-awful team. Notre Dame gave up 30 points at home to Purdue and a 40-burger at home against A&M. I don't think Notre Dame's any good. USF's not any good because Florida's not any good. USF beat Florida, and Florida's not any good. So, like, I think when it comes to Miami, this is a big game for them, too, to kind of prove people like me and or Miami. I'm not a Miami hater, but Miami haters that, hey, the wins against Notre Dame and us being undefeated up to this point is legit because, we are a good team. We can only take care of what's on our schedule. So I tremendously big game coming up tonight for both of these sides in Miami and Florida State. And right now, they're good friends at Hard Rock Bet. It's +4.5. I lean Florida State 4.5, getting 4.5 at home. So I think Miami will probably win by a field goal. I think Miami wins by a field goal in this game. And if Carson, I think another key to the game is Carson Beck. If Carson Beck stinks, Miami's in a heap of trouble. Ty Simpson,
he's looked great.
Listen. Has he played well? Did he play? Let's give him credit. He played unbelievable. Ty Simpson, quarterback for Alabama, by the way, played unbelievable against Georgia in that road win. One of the more impressive wins of the season, going to Athens, Georgia, and winning that game. But he played awful at Florida State. If Beck has a similar performance, that's going to open the door for Florida State. We know that Florida State's going to be rocking with that crowd. TikTok touchdown, Tommy Castellanos. Who's apparently been talking smack again in the media. I don't know. It's very weird. It's a very weird matchup for me because I like Florida State in the 4.5, but I think there's a world we live in where the Canes are just better.
Yeah.
I think where the Canes...
comes down to the defense, I think.
I think why I'm on that train too is because the 46 points against Virginia really bothers me. And I'm a college football snob being a Buckeye fan right now. And it's like the Buckeyes went on the road. I think Washington and Virginia are very similar. I think both similar teams as far as talent, as far as quarterback. They got scrambling quarterbacks who could run and pass, dual threat options. Ohio State went on the road and held Washington to 6 points in their own stadium.
Hmm.
That's why I get on Florida State so much, because if you're supposed to be a top team in the country, how the hell do you give up 46 points? That cannot happen. That cannot happen.
And lose.
Cannot happen. Now, I think Florida State got robbed. Should have been a touchdown, and they should have had a chance to go for two. But don't even put yourself in that situation. Don't put yourself behind the sticks. So that's why I'm having a real issue with saying Florida State is going to win this game tonight.
I'll tell you who's rooting for Florida State today, though. One of their biggest fans has to be Alabama.
Because Bama lost to them.
Correct.
If Florida State does lose this game, they're still alive. That's the sad part. Not sad part. Good part, because there are a ton of Florida State fans that work with us here at ESPN West Palm and in the area. If Florida State loses this in a close game, which I think is going to happen by about 3 points, a field goal or whatever, you're telling me they can't go undefeated against Pitt, Stanford, Wake, Clemson, who's terrible, Virginia Tech? The hardest game will be at NC State on that schedule, in my opinion, and then at Florida to end the year. Florida might be without a head coach, by the way. But I look at that schedule and still see an avenue for Florida State to be alive if they lose the game against Miami. Folks, speaking of those Florida Gators, make sure you secure your tickets If you're a Gator fan out there listening, obviously today you got the SEC home opener, but you still have the senior day matchups against Florida State coming up on November 29th. We mentioned that game. That is senior day, November 29th for the Florida Gators coming up. Get your tickets now by going to FloridaGators.com. That is FloridaGators.com. Get your tickets now. Once again, the SEC opener is today for the Gators. You can still purchase your Florida Gator tickets at FloridaGators.com. They're going to be taking up Georgia on November 1st at home. They got a home fixture as well against Mississippi State on October 18th. Home game against Tennessee. So big-time teams coming into the swamp against the Gators. And if you're a Florida Gator fan, listen out there. Visit FloridaGators.com to secure your tickets. And to talk a little bit about the Gators quickly, they're taking on Texas. And that's a big matchup. Number one, for Billy Napier, who's lost three games in a row coming off of a bye week, I think this is a big, big game as far as him with job security. And then Texas, this is their first SEC matchup. Texas hasn't played anybody in 5 weeks. San Jose State, UTEP, Sam Houston, and a bye week. Now they're at Florida. Both of these teams coming off of a bye. Arch Manning and the Gators going to be on their way to the swamp at Florida. Big game for Texas to prove that they still are a top team in the country after Arch Manning not looking the part and losing in Columbus that week one. Big game for the Florida Gators, whose head coach could be on their way out if they lose four games in a row in the SEC opener, and to try to get the season back on track. Get your tickets at FloridaGators.com. Taking a timeout, coming right back. ESPN West Palm Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Folks, download that ESPN South Florida app today. It's your one-stop shop for ESPN 106.3. You want to listen to Theoretically Speaking with Theo Dorsey and Christian Kapp from 2 to 4. It's on the app. You want to listen to Russo and Rizzo from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's on the app. If you want to listen to myself, who is on the call tonight for Inter Miami, I'm filling in for voice of the Inter Miami Herons, Ken Lavica, at 7 o'clock coming up tonight, 7:30 kickoff. If you want to listen to Lionel Messi scoring goals, it's on the app. We are now the home of the Florida Panthers. We are your official home in Palm Beach County for the Florida Panthers. Download the app, the ESPN South Florida app. You can listen to every Panther game right there. You want to listen to Kaiser football, it's on the app. Miami Hurricanes, on the app. Isn't it great? Download that ESPN South Florida app today. And also, folks, I got to tell you a little bit about the Boca Raton Bowl because it's college football season, and the Boca Bowl is coming up December 23rd at Flagler Credit Union Stadium. You know, let the snowbirds be up north for the holidays. Let's be down here in South Florida for the holidays, and let's have a sunny Christmas in South Florida at the Boca Bowl. You can get your tickets by going to BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. That is BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. You can get signed up for the pre-sale sign-up. That is the Boca Raton Bowl coming up December 23rd at Flagler Credit Union Stadium. BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. Damien, it's time to build our parlay of the weekend presented by our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Now, I mentioned I like the Cubs a lot tonight. We didn't get a chance to talk baseball tonight with all the juicy football with Florida State and Miami and on the NFL side. But I do want to take a look at the run line, or rather, the Cubs to win outright. Dane, this is what we're going to do. Cubs to outright win the game at Milwaukee today at 2:08 p.m., plus 125. That's going to be part of our parlay coming up. So I like the Cubbies. Plus 125. I've been talking about it all show on the college football side. You got Florida State and Miami. I want to make sure it's still a 4.5-point line. They probably
move 4.5.
It's still four. Yeah. So let me go into the Discover tab. How easy
minus
it is.
Minus 105, though.
So. This is how easy it is, folks, on Hard Rock. Let's go to the Discover tab. Oh, Florida State game comes right up. And plus 4.5 is the bet we are going to lock in. I love that line for Florida State at home. I think Miami wins by a field goal, but give me Florida State plus 4.5 tonight.
I can see that line moving to like a 3.5.
Damien, another game I like. I love the Crimson Tide at home against Vanderbilt.
Wow.
I do not think Vanderbilt is a good team. I'm going to go Alabama minus 11.5.
Actually, I agree with that a lot.
I don't see how this one is close.
Ty Simpson's on fire. Like, Alabama's on fire. Why not?
Like Vanderbilt, they had their moment last year against Alabama.
In a sense, this is also a revenge game for what happened last year.
They're not going to win at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Okay? Like, I don't know what world we live in where people are giving Vanderbilt. Like College Game Day is at Bama for this ridiculous game. It's going to be a 20-point game. That's my best guess. Maybe I'm dead wrong here, and I'm not respecting Pavia and the Commodores. I think that's it. The Vanderbilt Commodores as much as I should. But I sadly do not see this one being close at all. Dude, you want to know what the toilet bowl of the weekend is? It's Clemson and North Carolina. By the way, North Carolina is 15.5-point dogs at home against Clemson. That's kind of shocking.
That's a dangerous line.
I'm trying to find one more that I like. I don't want to be a homer and take Ohio State because I think Ohio State is going to completely dismantle Minnesota coming up tonight. But why is that a 7:30 game? Can I complain about that? Like, listen, calling the Inter-Miami games is a dream come true. Damien, you know how much I love world football, okay? That is a dream come true. But this will be like the third straight week I don't get to see Ohio State. Last week, I didn't get to see the Washington game because it was somehow, some way a 3:30 game. We're playing the game on the other side of the country, and it's a noon game for them. Why wasn't that a night game? And then now this week, why is it the Minnesota game a noon game? Why is this the night game? I cannot win with the schedule. This will be the third straight week I don't get to see my team play.
At least you're not missing Ohio State, Michigan, for example.
There is a chance I'm going to miss that, but that's a conversation for another day. Penn State, 24.5 against Nico I. I don't think Penn State is capable of scoring 24 points. The issue is UCLA stinks and they don't have their coach. That's a trap game. Wow. How about this line, Damien? Remember how much I talk about you know what? We're taking this. Virginia at Louisville. Louisville is favored by 6.5. We're taking Louisville in this. Taking Louisville to win by a touchdown.
Off the emotions of a big game that Virginia had last week, I can so see them kind of starting
out slow. That's gonna be our bet. That's our parlay of the weekend, folks. Once again, Cubbies on the run line. I like the Cubs in the game. I think the teams who have been off, the teams who have not been playing, the teams who didn't have to play
right, in wild card weekend, start.
I think it is going to be a slow start for them. I do. I think when it comes to the teams who had the bye, I think the teams in favor, advantage to the teams who have been playing. So Cubbies on that run line, plus 125.
And you see that a lot in baseball, right?
Yeah, definitely. Now, it's usually every other year, but last year, the teams who had the bye really did well. So I'm thinking this year, the teams who did have the bye aren't going to play as well. It gambling logic, Damien, bear with me.
The universe corrects itself.
Florida State, plus 4.5. So we got Cubbies, plus 125 to win. Florida State, plus 4.5. Alabama minus 11.5 and Louisville minus 6.5. Damien, that's plus 1,400 odds. 1,468 odds plus 1,468. If you bet $20, you're going to win $313. How about that? I think that's it. I think we got a winner there. I think the best bet we took was Louisville minus 6.5. Watch Virginia fall on their face after beating Florida State. I would not be shocked if Virginia fell on their face
and
right
that game
after
is at Louisville, correct?
Yeah, it's at Louisville. Why Louisville is basically a touchdown favorite. Now, Dame, we got Inter-Miami tonight. Obviously, you're on the Deporte side. You're going to be live coming up at 6:30 on ESPN, 7:60 a.m. What are your thoughts on the Supporters Shield probably done, gone, and dusted? Philadelphia, probably the team that's going to be hoisting the shield. Obviously, you're not happy with the two fixtures Inter-Miami has played with the loss and the draw. the Toronto FC stinks, and give credit to Berhalter. They played a hell of a game in South Florida with the Chicago Fire. By the way, folks, former United States men's national team coach Greg Berhalter went into Inter Miami on Tuesday night and walked out with a 5-3 lead.
That was a very frustrating game.
Really was, for a lot of reasons. Inter Miami came back and drew, and tied the game 3-3, but they were unable to see it through, giving up two late goals in the 80th and beyond to lose 5-3. But, Dame, what are your initial thoughts tonight as Inter Miami looks to bounce back with a win against the New England Revolution?
I think for Inter Miami at this point in the season, it's important to find themselves in one of those top spots of the Eastern Conference. For that, you have to win today against a team in New England that's eliminated from the playoffs. It's an absolute must win for Inter Miami. I'm not really too mad about the supporter shields. I don't think that's the ultimate goal. For me, the ultimate goal is winning the MLS playoffs.
The goal is to make sure you're a top four seed in the East.
Yes. Get that home field advantage.
It seemed like that was a formality, in my opinion.
I really...
But now it's getting a little dicey with the two fixtures.
This might be a hot take, but I'm not really too crazy about getting the bye either. I mean, I don't think it worked in Inter Miami's favor last year.
The bye is for the first overall seed. I'm saying be a top four.
Correct.
So you get home field.
Yep.
Be a top four. And it's you play two games in that first round. You play a home and an away. So be the top four and get that first game at home.
Right. So if it does come down to it, you play that third game at home.
Right. Right. So I'm kind of – that's where I'm at with Inter. I think they're going to win tonight. I really do think it's going to be a blowout. I think Messi finally gets back to looking like Lionel Messi. You know, the last two games, Messi has not had a goal or an assist. The games before that, he had eight goal and assist contributions in three fixtures.
Yeah.
But the most recent two fixtures, Messi's been held scoreless and assistless. I think that changes tonight coming up in South Florida.
You'll
at
get
Fort
your
Lauderdale.
First Messi goal because you haven't called one yet, right?
You jinxed it.
No, it'll be tonight.
I wasn't.
I'm manifesting it. I'm not jinxing it.
I wasn't going to mention it, Dame.
You'll get it. You'll get it. Watch.
I've called three Inter Miami games so far this season, and Messi's and Damien. How about the performance by the goalkeeper?
It's
Toronto.
Unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
Sean Johnson had the game of his life. Messi had four shots on target. Folks, hear that music. That means it's time for us to go. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. Damien will be live at 6:30, 7:60 a.m. Deportes. I will be live at 7 p.m. with the call for the Inter Miami English side. We'll see you later, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.